You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take your Bibles, go to the book of Nehemiah. It's going to be a few minutes before we get there, but we will get there. We're looking at attributes of a good Christian. A good Christian is waiting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was last Wednesday night. By the way, for you that have come in late, this is a great crowd. This is just adults, mature adults. I've been with elementary kids today. Your kids are incredible. They're great, and had a great elementary chapel. And then high school chapel was such a blessing. You know, my wife asked me about it. It's not missed. It's like we graduated that large class out of there. And these kids have just taken it up. They sang so well today. Had a good day in high school chapel. And then college chapel was such a blessing. And the class I teach with the Brother Martinez and Brother Reimers was such a blessing. And now to be with you tonight, it's a joy to my heart. What a way to end the day. Well, our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Amen. And I pray that we would maintain these attributes in our lives. To be a good Christian. I think of the attribute of awaiting the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we look for you every single day this week if you should tarry. I pray for the blessing on the message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you in just a few moments Bobby Robertson's prayer. 35 years ago, he prayed this, and I covered about once a year. I handed out every year a different design to all the college students. They already have this card. And I handed out generally to the high schoolers and to the elementary kids. Bobby Robertson's prayer. I was preaching at Gospel Ad about 35 years ago, I'm guessing. My wife was there. My kids were there. I was preaching at a youth conference, and I finished preaching, and he stood up and was dismissing the service in prayer. And he prayed a threefold prayer I want to share with you tonight. You know it. But when he prayed it, I pulled out a 3x5 card right away. Just pulled out a card, just like this. And he prayed that three-part prayer. Here's a man. You've heard the story just Sunday, you heard it again. Eighth grade education. Right. Never went past the eighth grade, but most beautiful, beautiful buildings in America. Yep. Huge gymnasium. The largest dining hall in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Bigger than Duke, bigger than the Tar Heels. I said, how'd you pay for that? He goes, well, I just saved the extra from the offering for about 10 years, Brother Jack. That's how I did it. The kitchen is enormous. The auditoriums, and the one auditorium is just like this. And pack it out every Sunday, 35, 36, 37, 3,800 people. Buses all over that region. Just an amazing man. But poor people sat there. Well, he preached all poor people. But then he had the executives. And he had the owners of companies. He had airline pilots. He had lawyers. He had doctors. And they just sat there and came Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Big crowds, always.
Amen.
And he prayed this prayer I'm going to share with you tonight, because a good Christian, the attributes of a good, we pray.
Yes, yes, sir.
We pray.
Amen.
What a privilege to carry everything. Not some everything. Everything to God in prayer. I just had the joy of praying with my grandson over here. He's a college freshman, and we were praying tonight. Just to hear him pray, it just blessed my heart. How he's praying for the service tonight, praying for those requests we asked. And you know, God wants to hear your sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, that call. Do you pray? Now, none of us pray enough. Amen? None of us. But are you praying? I'm finding myself, don't worry, I don't have Alzheimer's, but I find myself losing things all the time. Do you lose things? Please help me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. The rest of you are liars. But I lose things. And I find my first line of defense, my first line has to be, I have to pray. Lord, where did I put that? Sometimes I'll put things on my desk. I'm sitting at my desk. I haven't got up. I haven't moved. I've been at my desk. And I had something, and then I can't find it. It's a crazy. I say, Lord, help me here. And I move my Bible. There it is underneath my Bible, whatever it is. But it's crazy. I pray about everything. I pray about which way I should go to El Camino. I just pray about it. I pray as I see a car that might be like your car, and I think I know most of your cars, not all of them, but I said, now there's, and I pray for you. My job to pray, we will give ourselves, the Bible says of a preacher, Acts 6:4, continually to the word of God in prayer. You pay me to pray. That's one of the reasons you pay me. You pay me to read the word of God and to pray. I find that, Brother Manley, I have so much to prepare a week's time that I have to pray all the time, and I'm always stuck in my office. I guess Rose and all the ladies and all the men must think he must be back there sleeping because I'm always in that office. Every week I have to prepare for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, elementary chapel, high school chapel, college chapel, a class, 5 radio broadcasts, and then an hour-long broadcast. Amen. That all takes preparation, friends, and all the correspondence and all the talking to preachers and talking to church members and visiting with people. I need prayer, and I need to pray, and that's my job. I am hired to pray. You pay me $1 million a year to be your prayer warrior. You know that's a joke, but you pay me to pray. You pay me to study the Word of God. You know, I am not old, but getting older is so wonderful because I know more of this book than I've ever known it. I know all about this book. I know its pages. You can read a passage and I perhaps could tell you where that passage is. I know this book. I've been preaching it for 50 years in the ministry, 54. I've been 53, 54 years. I've been preaching this book. I love this book. I study this book. I study it every day. I know more of this book than ever, but that's my job. And my job is to pray, but your job, men ought always to pray.
Amen.
How in the world do you raise children without prayer?
Right.
Yeah. I've told every chapel today, so I might as well tell you because they're all out of here. Well, you know, 53 years ago this December, it was just my wife and I. It was just me, and then I brought her alongside. And God never blessed us with children. And we wanted children. And I know I prayed for them, and I'm sure she prayed for them, but we weren't upset about it. We didn't have children. That was just God's will. And we went 6 years and 11 months to the date. And then God gave us Tiffany. Wow. I remember 4:30 in the morning when she was born in her bedroom. And I remember going on that couch after they cleaned her up and holding her. And she, I said to her, I can remember it. Tiffany, you are beautiful. You look just like your mother. She's beautiful. You're beautiful. Oh, but Tiffany, I want to tell you something. You're a sinner. You take after your mother's side of the family. You're a sinner, honey, and you need to be saved. I gave her the plan of salvation within the first hour of her life. What a wonderful day when my mother led her to Christ. As a young girl, she never doubted. She's 46 years of age now. She never doubted. What a blessing. And then God gave us 4 years later, Tim. And Tim's a preacher, and Tiffany's a preacher's wife, and Tim's a preacher in Arizona, and he's such a good guy.
Amen.
And then Tabitha, 13 months later, what a blessing. She and her husband preaching, serving tonight here in our church. One of the things that happened, we started having children. And then our children got married, and they added mates. And we have 14 grandkids, and now our granddaughter just got married, so we added Shane, our son-in-law, that married into Ashland. So I have 23 in our family. But one is not saved. Tim's little girl, London, is not saved. And I have prayed for over 5 years, I prayed all my whole ministry, that every one of our family would get in before my homegoing. And you know, Landon and Lawson Logan, her brothers, they're merciless. They said, you know, London, you're going to die and go to hell. You need to get saved. My dad said, kids, don't tell her that. Just back off. Let the Holy Spirit of God work on her heart. And then they'd say a few weeks later, you've got to get saved, London. You've got to get saved. And Dad would say, back off. Let God work on her heart. And on August 31st, 2025, she got saved last Sunday night. We talked to her last night. She's so excited. I said, well, what happened? She goes, I got saved, Papa, Nana. They're all in.
Yep. Amen.
Everybody's in. I tell you what, I felt like we had part of that because we prayed every day for her salvation. We'd pray every day that London would come to know Christ. What are you praying for? Prayer is admitting, I can't answer this. You see, hi, Brother Pacho. Good to see you back in church. Glad you're here tonight. I don't know what's so big in your life. It could be your health, your marriage, your finances, your family, your sons, your daughters. Well, I don't know what it is. But you have to have prayer requests. I was talking to a college girl today, and she was talking to me about her prayer life, and I'm really proud of her. She has a prayer journal. She prays. But what are you praying for? Are you praying for all these young pastors that are up here and throughout the house? Are you praying for these young boys? Are you praying for their marriages? Are you praying for their families? Are you praying for these that have been around? Mrs. Carr celebrated 40 years on staff this week. Are you praying for those that are elderly, that have served a lifetime and continue to serve? What are you praying for tonight? My Bible speaks about prayer, and I want you to see what happened here. The book of Nehemiah and verse 5, and he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible, that means awesome God, that keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and observe. Let thine ear, he's praying, let thine ear. See, verse 4, he wept and fasted and mourned and prayed. And now he said, let thine ear be attentive to thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now. Day and night, the children of Israel, the servants confess their sins to the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house. We have dealt very corruptly against thee. And he's praying. And he says, God, remember, I beseech thee, verse number 8, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses. And then if you will turn to me and keep thee. And the Bible says, O Lord, verse 11, I beseech you now, let thine ear be attentive to my prayer. You'll find in chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in the month of Nisan. Nisan is April. But the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 1, it came to pass in the month of Cheslu. That's December. And Nehemiah prayed from December until April about this project. He prayed for all of December, all of January, all of February, all of March, all of April, 4 months. He prayed that God would give him the desire of his heart to build up the wall around Jerusalem. There's 2 million Jews, that we be no longer reproached to the people, that there'd be a wall against wild beasts and animals and the foreign powers that are coming in. God, my prayer is that you will answer my prayer. You know, as we think of His prayer was, Lord, help us just to be real.
Amen. Good.
To be real means to be genuine.
Amen.
You might fall asleep talking to God. Your mind might begin to wander talking to God. Mine does. Oh, not every time, but at times I'll find myself wandering with my mind, and I'll find myself getting tired and sort of drowsy when I'm praying. And I find myself drifting off. But I always come back saying, now, Lord, you know I'm just tired. You know that my mind gets sidetracked. I want to be real with God.
Amen.
And God says, Bobby Robertson, he prayed, Lord, help us to be real. That's just genuine, authentic, the real you. Don't try to be something you're not. I wonder how many of you are praying 3 minutes a day, 4 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day. That's pretty good. But why don't you double it this week? Just if you're praying 5 minutes a day, why don't you try 10 minutes a day?
Yes, amen.
And why don't you fail at it and say, Lord, I failed today. I prayed for 7 minutes. And what the next day you said, Lord, I prayed for 11 minutes today. But why don't you pray for about a month, every day for 10 minutes? I think, help me with this. I think you could, here's a man, pray. I think you could pray for your wife. That would take a little while, and I don't say that sarcastically. That'd take a little while, that God, you give her patience with me, you give her understanding with me, that you give her strength in her journey of life. If your wife's a mother, Lord, help my dear wife as she mothers our children and cares for the house and cares for our food and cares for our laundry and all these things that she does for us. God, just help my sweet wife. I mean, you could pray for a minute or two or three real quickly for your wife, and you could pray for your marriage. Then you could pray for your children individually. You could pray for lost relatives. There's so many things to pray. You could pray for your neighborhood. You could pray for your pastor and your pastor's wife and some staff members that you might know. You could pray for the services Sunday, that God, you anoint Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, that God, you put your touch on it. Just be real before God and be genuine. No artificial, the real deal. That's what Moses was. His prayers were so powerful. That's what Joshua was. His prayers were so powerful. That's what Elisha was. That's what Nehemiah is here. So Bobby prayed that night, Lord, help us to be real. The second thing he prayed, help us to confess our sins. Help us to confess our sins. To confess means to agree with God that I'm guilty. I don't have any right to come to God but through the grace of Jesus Christ. There's no righteousness in me. There's no goodness in me. Isaiah 64:4, we're all like filthy rags. We're all sinners. But I can come to God boldly, and I can come with God with confessed sin. You know, I think of this confessed sin. David said in Psalm 32, I acknowledge my sin. My sin is ever before me. I have not hid my transgression. I'll confess my transgressions before thee, dear God. Thou forgavest my iniquity. Thou forgavest my sin. He had committed sin with Bathsheba. And he said, God, I know I've sinned. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God. Blot out the multitude of my transgressions. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Oh, and he poured his heart out against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this iniquity in thy sight. Why don't we not only be real, but why don't we confess our sins? Amen. Do not start praying just by praying. Start with confession of sin. Amen. Start by saying, God, here is where I'm weak. Here is where I failed you today. Here is where I failed you this week. And God, I have a temper, or I'm short-fused, or I'm bitter at this person, or I have envy at this person, or jealousy, or wrath, or wrath with this person. And God, here's my problem. Help me. And God, I confess it to you. I know it's sin. I love Brother Bobby. Oh, you remember Brother Bobby, Brother Whitlow. He was such a sweet man. Amen. Such a sweet man. Just was so genuine. He'd preach in this pulpit, just so real. He was just such a fun guy. He was never in a hurry for anything. His church was large. His Christian school had 900 kids. But he never had a staff member. He didn't know how to have one. So he'd get on the radio on the morning, get off the radio, and meet Brother Frank, his assistant pastor, at the back of his car. And it's okay now, Frank, I've got these 30 visits I need to, they visited everybody sick. I've got these 30 visits. I'm gonna go to Baptist Hospital. I'm going to go to Forsyth Hospital. I'm going over here to these nursing homes. Here's the card. I got all the names right here. Now, Frank, I need you to go. And he gave them all the, and so they just divvied it up, and that's how it was. Yeah, Bobby wouldn't show up. 8 o'clock was the broadcast. He wouldn't show up. Well, Frank was always there waiting. And if he wasn't there, he just went to, he never called and said, Frank, I can't make it. He just didn't show up. And Frank just took the broadcast. And he didn't say, well, Bobby's not here. They call him Bobby all the time. Bobby's not here today. But he never said that. He just said, well, this Brother Frank, I'm glad to be with you. I was preaching in Los Angeles. Los Angeles traffic is terrible. It was a Wednesday morning, and we were at the hotel and getting ready to come out of the hotel. We preached Monday and Tuesday night together. And I got to his room. I said, now, Brother Bobby, we have got to leave. Brother Robertson, we've got to leave. There's traffic, and we're going to fight traffic all the way to LAX. We're going to fight it. So we got to go. Well, Brother Jack, you just got to settle down, son. You're too much in a hurry. You're going to have a heart attack. You keep that nonsense up. And when I go, I have all clean clothes. I shower twice a day, every day of my life. I did today, I do every day. So I have clean clothes, but I can pack them in a roller bag, a little briefcase, and a suit bag. I got everything. I can go for a week that way and have new clothes every day. He had two big old suitcases, big giant things, for 2 days. I said, what are you doing? He goes, well, I want to be ready, Brother Jack. I said, well, let me get these things and take. No, no, slow down. He battled with me. I finally got him to the door, the suit bags to the door. I said, let me go stop the elevator. And he goes, you're too nervous, son. You are just, we'll make it. We'll make it. I got him in the elevator, and he starts talking to people. I said, Brother Bobby, we don't have time to talk to these people. We've got to get in the car. I finally got him in the car. He said, okay, whoever was driving, he goes, now we're in the car. I need to get a cup of coffee. I said, Brother Robertson, we don't have time for a cup of coffee. Yes, we. I said, no. We got on the freeway, and sure enough, it's all stopped. I said, I told you. I told you. You're going to miss your flight. No, I'll make it. I got to the airport, and you didn't have all the security like you do now. I got to the airport, and I just had minutes left. And my flight was at the end of the terminal, Brother Mofi, at the end. I had to run, and they shut the door. And he said later in the day, we talked, and he goes, you made it home, didn't you, Brother Jack? I said, I sure did. He goes, I told you would. He was never in a hurry for anything. He just wasn't in a hurry. He started services on time. But you know, he was just such a real man. He was just such a honest man. He confessed his sin. I was preaching there 40 years ago, a 5-day revival. And I'd never seen this happen before, Brother Sam. I'd never seen it. But I was preaching and then given the invitation, and he came forward and knelt. I mean, here's this gigantic church, gigantic pastor, great man of God, and he's kneeling there. He's weeping before God. And he stood up. He said, oh, folks, I mean, this is the holiest man of God I've ever met. He is a holy man of God. And he gave the invitation. He said, I'm telling you, old Bobby Robertson came forward tonight getting right with God. I just need to be right with my God. Amen. Boy, that humbled me. Why would Bobby Robertson come forward? You know, Bobby Robertson believed in confessing his sins. There's a third part of his prayer. Ushers, I'm going to have you come and hand these out. I don't know where they are. I think you might have them. And so they're coming to get them out. And he prayed, God, help us to be real.
Amen.
And help us to confess our sins. And then he said, lastly, help us to walk humbly before thee. God resisteth the proud. The ushers are coming through the house. I want to take time on that last one with you just for a few moments. God resisteth the proud. God can never answer the prayer of a proud man. Humble yourself. My Bible says in Exodus chapter 10, how long wilt thou refuse to humble themselves? College students, I think we might have enough. If you want to get your second one, you can, or pass it on to your parents or whatever. How long refuse to humble thyself? Deuteronomy 8, they refuse to humble and they prove thee in the wilderness. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves. God is always honored when we humble ourselves. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 29, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Isaiah 57, 15, that he'll revive the spirit of the humble. The Bible says in Matthew 23, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. James 4, 6, God giveth more grace. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. James 4, 10, humble yourselves in the sight of God. Micah 6, 8, this is the will of God, that thou walkest justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before thy God. You know, if we could just obey this little prayer right here, this could change our prayer life. This could change my prayer life. If I would just be real before a holy God. If I would just confess my sins on a daily basis throughout the day, and if I would just walk humbly. Amen. I'll never forget, I pulled out that 3x5 card, and as I pulled it out, I said I wish I'd have kept it. Bobby Robertson's prayer, 1, 2, 3. Those 3 points you have right there. Say them together. What are they? Be
real.
Secondly. Third. And I wrote them all down. And I came home on a Sunday night, the next Sunday night, and I said, so folks, I'm preaching tonight on a message that really didn't take me long to get. I heard a man pray this week, Brother Bobby Robertson. And he prayed and he said, Lord, help us to be real. I preached this message 35 years ago. Somehow, it must be in my files somewhere. But I preached it to our church. There was such a good response. Curtis, I don't know if you remember that, but there was such a good response that night. People came from everywhere. They just wanted a good prayer life. God wants to answer your prayer more than you want him answered. God wants to answer prayer.
Amen.
May we be prayer warriors is my prayer.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.